From the studios of Dublin City FM, on FM Fridays at 3 p.m. and anytime worldwide in podcast, it's Dublin's only garden radio show in association with greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. This is The Sod Show.
Good afternoon and welcome. This is The Sod Show in association with greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Coming to you through the wonderful medium of radio with Dublin City FM and podcast on iTunes and Audio Boo. I'm Niall O'Keefe, and oh my god, hasn't the weather been awful this week? I mean, I read somewhere that we got 45 millimetres of rain in one 24-hour period. Not only that, I also read somewhere that we got a month's worth of rain in just 3 days. Of course, the place where I read all these things was Twitter, where I've just passed 40,000 tweets under the name of @NiallOK. That's N-I-A-L-L-O-K. So you might well call me an addict there, but, well, this show is on Twitter as well as @SodShow, and rest assured we talk about a lot more than just the rain. And anyway, the sun came out a bit too, so it wasn't all bad this week. But speaking of the rain and water though, today's show is on the topic of homeopathy, and no, don't switch over. We know there's plenty of people out there who think it's a sham, and we'll hear from one of the more famous ones of them shortly, before Peter goes out and about and speaks to Mark O'Sullivan about homeopathy for the garden. Now, whether it really works or not, we leave up to you to decide. But it's good to have an open mind on these things, isn't it? By the way, the answer is yes. Of course it's good to have an open mind on these things. Right, first, before we go to Peter, time for the news of the week, the gardening news of the week. And I must confess, I am not a green-fingered person. I live in an apartment in the city centre, and the closest I have to a garden is a balcony where my better half is cultivating a very nice little collection of parsley, sage, rosemary and thyme, in fact the whole Scarborough Fair collection. But being as it is that my work keeps me indoors with a pair of headphones on my head and a computer in front of me the whole time, the fact is I don't get out much. So I was actually very happy when Peter told me that he's got another gardening group outing coming up. And it's a day out for non-gardeners. They're going to head to Corca Park in Clondalkin on the 7th of October. It's for those who are or aren't botanists but have an interest. And it gives them a chance to get out to the great outdoors and basically see what it's all about. Now, the Sod Show microphones will be present, but don't let that scare you off. There's no other garden group in Ireland like it, and it's well worth coming along to because, as Peter himself describes it, well, he asks the question, are you interested in the greeny garden outdoors kind of thing, but don't want to fall asleep within the first 7 seconds or so? It's basically all of the great bits of green and horticulture, except in a pair of jeans and a t-shirt, if that's what you like to wear. It's totally up to you. For more information, head over to Peter Dunnigan's blog. It's at blog.dunniganlandscaping.com. As usual, we put all the information from the news on the show up on sodshow.com, so you can find it all there too. You do have to register to come along, just so he knows about numbers, but no money will be changing hands. It costs zero money. Free gratis. And whether you're a qualified horticulturist or you just like how that flower over there smells, go for it. It's all good. It's a few like-minded people enjoying the great outdoors. What could be better? I'm going to go along myself because I need to get out more. I need more fresh air. I think we all do, really. Speaking of getting out more and getting more fresh air, the Spirit of Folk Festival took place recently. Peter Dunnigan passed on the message that he wanted to say thank you to everybody. He spoke at his first festival, and though he liked the sound of the band name Peter Dunnigan and the Crickets, it was not the case. He wasn't there with a guitar and a backup band. He was just speaking about gardens. And for the opportunity to do that, Peter just wanted to say thanks to artist liaisons Juliana and Diane. A member of the audience, Ruth, who read so eloquently his backup quotes with absolute perfect timing, apparently. And to all those who came along, sat, listened, laughed and chatted along. Peter says it was a real, genuine honour. And thanks as well, of course, go to the Spirit of Folk 2012 Festival team. We're looking forward to Spirit of Folk 2013. In other news this week, well, we do put out a call on Twitter every week to find out what news you have for The Sod Show. And there was this one person, he goes by the name of Paysan, and that's all we know about him, his Twitter name, for he's an anonymous tweeter who's also a married poet with a 9-year-old son who follows Shamrock Rovers, for some reason. He tweeted back to us saying that his news was that winter is here. Now, going by the weather, I'd say that's pretty obvious and not news. So we got back to him telling him, well, we're looking for some real news. He got back to us with, smiley face, my garden is now an official stop-off for Canadian geese. Some real news, please. That's at Paysan, P-A-Y-S-A-N, if you want to point your browser at him and point your finger at him and laugh a little bit. Not too much, though. In real news, though, Katrina from wholesome.ie has tweeted us, giving us advance notice of new Balbriggan allotments, the open day, which takes place on the 20th of October. She'll have more info next week, so it's well worth following her on Twitter. The Twitter name is at wholesome.ie, and thanks a million, Katrina, for that. And we'll just remind you that if you do want to get in touch with the show and you have some gardening news or just something interesting that you'd like to hear read out on the show, Twitter is the easiest way to get in touch with us, at Sodshow. And that's the news. Now, one thing I forgot to mention earlier on that's coming up later on in the show. Our chosen music this week is from one of the highlight acts of the Spirit and Folk Festival, which took place last week. So stay with us for that. But now the topic of the week is homeopathy. And before you switch it off, we're going to present a bit of a balanced view on this. And in order to do so, well, first of all, we're going to go with what many people seem to believe about homeopathy. It's just water. It's not doing you any good really at all. Anything that happens that's good is just a pure coincidence and happened by the wayside. Nothing to do with the stuff you put in the water. There's no mental impression. Nothing like that is actually going on. Who could put it better than acclaimed comedian, TV presenter, Darrow Breen? So bear with me for about 90 seconds while we'll hear his side of the argument first. And then Peter Dunnigan is talking to a man who has seen, apparently, real results from homeopathy for the garden. Take it away, Dara.
There's a kind of a notion that everyone's opinion is equally valid. My arse! It's nonsense. And they'll have this all the time with medical stuff on the television. You'll have a doctor on and they'll talk to the doctor and be, oh, doctor this and doctor that. And then the doctor will be talking about something with all the benefit of research and medical evidence. And they'll turn away from the doctor in the name of balance and turn to some quack witch doctor, homeopath, horse peddler on the other side of the studio. And I'm sorry if you're into homeopathy. It's water! How often does it need to be said? Jesus, homeopaths get on my nerves with the old, well, science doesn't know everything. Well, science knows it doesn't know everything, otherwise it'd stop. But it... but as well as that, you know, how they bother? But as well as that, just because science doesn't know everything doesn't mean you can fill in the gaps with whatever fairy tale most appeals to you. Well, the great thing with homeopathy is you can't overdose on it. Well, you could fucking drown. I'm sorry, it seems harsh, and I used to be much more generous about it, but right now I would take homeopaths and I'd put them in a big sack with psychics, astrologers and priests, and I'd close the top of the sack with string and I'd hit them all with sticks. And I really wouldn't worry who got the worst of the belt of the sticks, right? Anyone in answer to the difficult questions in life, the I don't know what happens after I die, or the big questions, gives you an easy bullshit answer, and you go, well, do you have any evidence for that? And they go, there's more to life than evidence. Get in the f***ing sack. I'm sorry, herbal medicine. Oh, herbal medicine's been around for thousands of years. Indeed it has, and then we tested it all, and the stuff that worked became medicine. And the rest of it is just a nice bowl of soup and some potpourri. So knock yourself out.
You're not at all biased now, are you? Darrow Breen talking about homeopathy. It's time to go out and hear the other side of it as we go up the country to Peter Dunnigan. Peter's talking to licensed, registered homeopath who's based in the Dublin Holistic Centre, Mark O'Sullivan. Peter, what's happening? What are you doing there?
I'm reading a sign that says on it, homeopathy for the garden. Easy to use, simple to apply, get rid of slugs, green fly and pests, organic and non-toxic. Only one application necessary most of the time. Number one, what is homeopathy? Just to break this down.
Homeopathy for people is a system of medicines in practice for about 200 years, and it goes by the law of similars, which is let like cure like. So you give a human being, if they have a condition, something that would provoke the symptoms that they have when they're sick. So the classic example of that is onions. Somebody's chopping onions, they've got streaming nose, they're sneezing. You give them a remedy made out of onions because that looks like hay fever. Those symptoms look like hay fever. And so onions would be one of our leading remedies for hay fever.
Okay, so homeopathy for the garden.
Homeopathy for the garden is a recent extension of homeopathy to the treatment of plants. And we have quite a developed system now at this stage for treating most of the pests and ailments of the plants, but also for boosting plant health and soil health. Now, the star of the show is undoubtedly a remedy called Helix Tosta, which is a remedy which, when you water your plants, it stimulates the plants' defences so they can defend themselves successfully against slugs.
Is this a little bit like people saying, let your kid get a cold because it'll build up your immune system? Is that a fair?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, we in homeopathy, we believe that a creature, let's be very non-specific about this, gets a disease because they're susceptible to it. Yeah. So if you keep getting your cold or your cough or something like that, it's because you have a susceptibility to it. A plant is susceptible to a slug infestation. So if you give a remedy that stimulates the plant's immunity, it can successfully defend itself against slugs, aphids, whitefly, sawfly, anything you care to mention, caterpillars.
Let me backtrack on this, because for slug prevention, yes, prevention rather than, yes, cure, yes, the first thing is you don't plant it underneath an ivy kind of clad wall.
Yeah.
The second thing is, you know, the whole watering thing, so you don't give them a ski slope straight into what, yes, is, you know, robbing apples from, yes, the orchard, so to speak.
Yeah. And slugs have to find the plant attractive in the first place. Most slug prevention techniques are a bit like conventional medicine. They attack the pest. It's all about waging war with the slugs, which is a bit like fighting the tide in Ireland.
Yeah.
But this is a completely different approach. This is about strengthening the plant.
But slug...
You don't attack the pest. You strengthen the plant so that it can defend itself naturally. There can be, your garden can be full of slugs, but the plants that you've treated, they won't go near them.
Well, I've got a theory on this one. I'll rephrase this. I've got a theory on my own garden, which is, you know, I find planting tree seeds a hell of a lot cheaper than buying slug pellets,
yes,
to defend them. That's the first thing. The second thing is, in my horticultural opinion, that, you know, if the slug eats part of the leaf, well, then so what? Because the only thing it does is it reduces the ability of the plant to photosynthesize by process of, you know, you've now 2% less,
sure,
leaf cover.
Yes.
How does your theory work out?
Well, I mean, sometimes it considerably more than 2%. And that's when you need some kind of intervention.
It can be 100%.
If it's just nibbling around the edges, then you don't have a problem. It's when you get a tsunami of slugs coming over your entire garden and gobbling everything up that you need some kind of intervention that's going to work.
Yeah.
And we found that Helix Tosta has been most of the time a reliably effective remedy against slugs. Similarly, Cochinella, we had a sawfly infection, for example, in the Heritage Community Garden in Donnybrook, uh-huh, which completely decimated the gooseberry bushes. And I don't know if you've ever seen a sawfly infection, an infestation. It just completely gobbles up the gooseberry bushes, and there's only a little skeleton of a thing left. Now, we treated that with Cochinella, and 2 weeks later, robust new growth, completely untouched by the sawflies.
Okay, first of all, for those listening at home, would you mind introducing yourself?
Oh, sure. My name is Marco Sullivan. I'm a practicing homeopath for people most of the time in the Dublin Holistic Centre and in the Apple Tree Wellness Centre in Ranelagh. My website is www.homeopath.ie. And this is something which I've been banging the drum about homeopathy for the garden since 2007. And this year, it's reached a kind of a tipping point. I've addressed the GIY annual gathering in Waterford last weekend. I've taught this at the Organic Centre, and they want me back to teach the students and staff. I've been invited to St Archa, to Drumcolliher, the Organic College. So this has reached a point where people are going, wow, this works. They've tried it. They like it. They want to know more.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Peter. And if you want to know more, we'll return to them in a few minutes' time. But first, a song that kind of ties into the topic of homeopathy. There's been a lot of homeopathic remedies that involve honey. Those of you who have pollen allergies or hay fever, you may have been treated with honey if you went to a homeopath. Well, it's a tenuous link, but it's a good one. These guys are one of the headline acts who appeared at the Spirit of Folk Festival. It's the Hot Sprockets with Honey Skippin' on The Sod Show. describing themselves as a South Dublin blues outfit that play the kind of rock and roll music that is haunted by the ghost of country music. That's the Hot Sprockets there with Honey Skippin' on the Sod Show. It's time to go back outside and to homeopath Mark O'Sullivan, who's talking to Peter Donegan.
Okay, for those at home, listen, you've got this, I suppose, garden centre fix is probably the easiest way to describe it. You take a blue pellet, you put it down. I can see the pellet. I can see the product come from the jar. Yeah. What is your product? Do I buy it in a bottle?
Well, it's done in the form of a homeopathic remedy. So you buy a 50ml bottle of fluid, and then you take 5ml of that, you put it into a 2-liter bottle of water, and you shake that and bang it on the ground and make sure that it's well mixed, agitated. And then after about 30 seconds of that, you water that solution to the roots of your plants. And then within about 2 to 3 days, depending on how healthy the plant is to begin with, but if the plant is reasonably healthy, within 2 or 3 days, the slugs will avoid that plant.
What's in it that makes the slug kind of go, no, I don't want to go into that nightclub?
Well, you see, it's not in the remedy. The remedy is a catalyst to stimulate the plant to defend itself. So you give the... It's like holistic health for plants. The plant undergoes a therapy whereby its own natural defences are able to ward off the slugs. I mean, you have to imagine that a garden is actually, in terms of nature, is actually quite an unnatural environment. We plant things in straight rows. We say, this is going to grow here and nothing else. Whereas in a natural environment, a plant in its optimal state of health has its allies, its companions. It has the whole synergy of the biodiversity around, all the checks and balances to make sure that no one predator predominates. But in our situation, we have all these mollycoddled princesses of very hybridized plants that are growing on their own without their companions or their allies, and therefore they're weaker than a plant in the wild. So what this does is it compensates for the lack of biodiversity, strengthens the plant so that its natural defences against pests come to the fore and they don't get eaten.
There are people at home who are saying, like, I can hear, I know the emails are going to come in, the queries are going to come in, and they're going to say...
Some people would say, you know, homeopathy is nonsense and all that stuff. I mean, you usually get that wheeled out. It was yesterday in the Irish Times. But what I'd say to you is, try this. The plants don't know a placebo effect.
The big question, though, that I was going to ask is, you say defence system...
Yes.
And the scientist, the horticultural qualified inside my head, is standing there with a white flag, kind of going,
yes.
How does, I take this liquid, it makes the plant stronger, it's induced through the root system.
Yes.
What's the science behind the homeopathy? If that's a fair question, well, is it?
Science is kind of outside of the tent of conventional science, very definitely. You know, the point of departure comes with this notion of the memory of water, because we have our remedies are actually very dilute. In terms of conventional chemistry, it makes no sense. They're impossibly dilute. Although the ones we use for the garden are about 6x, which is, there should be a remnant of the original substance left in it. But we would hold that water has a memory, that we structure the water, that the loose hydrogen bonds in the water create spontaneous crystalline shapes which hold the bioelectric frequency of the original substance, which then becomes imprinted on the bioelectric field of the creature that you're treating, whether it be a human or a plant. But of course, conventional science doesn't accept that. But, you know, we could talk about academics, we could talk about theory, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Homeopathy is, we call it the medicine of experience. And really, that's what it is, first and last. You try it, see if it works for you. Don't take anybody else's word for it.
Again, I'm going to be asked, what is the bit that makes your product work? What is the bit that makes it do what it says on the tin? What is that?
There's no active in the you mean the active ingredient? I mean, so you're still thinking in terms of a chemical intervention.
Well, let's change this to an extent. Okay, so I plant one apple tree in the middle of the grass, and I put a 50-foot wall the entire way around it. Nobody can get into it. Therefore, nobody takes the apples. It's very, very simple.
Okay.
In your context, what you're saying is, I take this liquid, I put it onto a plant, and the slugs stay away from it. And I'm saying, why do they stay away from it?
Because if you look at the situation holistically, an infestation on a plant is analogous to a human being contracting a disease. It's like the equivalent, the aphid or the slug is an opportunist. It's coming in to exploit a weakness in the plant. So what we do with our remedies is we strengthen the plant so that weakness no longer exists and the plant can fend off the slugs.
Will the slug have a go at eating the leaves at all?
It might. Again, depending on how knackered the plant is. If the plant is using its own resources to fend it off, the remedy is just a catalyst. So if the plant is knackered in the first place, then it's going to take longer for the remedy to work, and you know the slugs will be able to get in. But if the plant is reasonably healthy to begin with, then it should be able to successfully defend itself within about 2 or 3 days.
Will the slug get sick if it eats some of the leaves? Is that a silly question?
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not. But it'll go and eat your weeds.
Is there a point where if I use this, and again, I understand this is homeopathic and there's holistic mentions in here as well. Yeah. Is there any effect on the soil from using one of the products that you're talking about?
No negative effects. I mean, because our remedies are so dilute, basically, essentially what you're doing is watering your plants. That's what you're doing. Chemically speaking, that's what you're doing. It's hard. I know it's hard to get your head around it. And most of the people who say, for example, use homeopathy on a regular basis for their own health, for human beings' health, are people who've actually been introduced to it without it having to been explained. That's why it's dismissed as being placebo. But I mean, you're not going to tell a plant about a placebo effect. I wouldn't be going around to all these organic centres and organic gardening groups all over the country as I have been for the last year, unless something was working.
You've got noted on here as well, not only the slug. So I get, for those at home listening again, you take this scenario where a slug comes across, it eats a little bit of a part of the leaf, that's absolutely fine. I mean, on the other side of it, you've got noted here again the green fly. So the green fly comes along, it takes its mouth-eating parts, so it's almost like a wee little needle, it scratches and you find these etchings on you and sucks the chlorophyll out. What is it that you use to treat or to prevent the green fly from eating the plants? Because I can hear every single rose grower in the country kind of going, wow, there's a miracle cure.
We have some fantastic remedies for roses as well, yeah. I mean, essentially, it isn't the chemical. You see, again, you've asked me the question. It's not the chemical that's doing the work. The plant is doing the work. We're strengthening the plant so that it can defend itself. So if the aphid goes away, it's because the plant has either toughened its skin or it's started introducing a chemical, as many plants do, to ward off the aphids. And whereas before, perhaps it was in too weakened a state to do it. Most gardeners know, for example, that slugs will always attack the weak plants. They'll attack the ones that are sick. They attack the ones that have simple carbohydrates, the sweeter tasting, easier to digest carbohydrates. Whereas a healthy plant has good, robust, complex carbohydrates, so that the structure of the plant is tougher for slugs to digest.
You've got a scenario where aphids are noted as being disease vectors.
Yes, they are, yeah.
Does your product solve the downy, mildew, powdery... Okay, yes. Fair enough, that's probably way off the mark.
We have remedies for bacterial diseases, for fungal diseases, and we also have remedies which will boost the health of your plant and make it more productive as well. So on the other side of things, you've got the companion planting methodology where the companion plants of remedies have been turned into... the companion plants of vegetables have been turned into homeopathic remedies. And when they are applied to their companions, it boosts the health because it's like the constitutional remedy of the plant. So a good example there would be basil, a remedy made out of basil applied to tomatoes. Or another one would be, say, sage, Salvia officinalis. That's to brassicas and the cucurbitae. The sage is a companion plant to both of those species. So you've got your cucumbers, you've got your brassicas, you spray this remedy on, and they'll be more healthier and more robust.
When you turn around, you're in a pub, you're in a nightclub, and you turn around to, hello.
If they can hear me.
The people turn around and they say, oh, did you meet my friend Jim? Oh, Jim, how are you? What do you do for a living? Oh, I work in a bank. Oh, I'm an architect. Yes. And you turn around and you say, well, I do homeopathy for plants.
I'm a homeopath.
Do you get people turn around and go, what the, who? You do what? And then you're kind of going, ah, do you get that? I know I'm playing devil's advocate here, but...
Look, if people were worried about what other people thought about what they did, nobody would do anything out of the ordinary.
Do you find that it's a little bit of a love, what you've done, based on what you've just said there?
I'm passionate about this. I've done my permaculture design certificate with Rob Hopkins. I've been involved in sustainability and environmental activism for 20 years. So when I found out about homeopathy for plants, it was like two of the things that I feel most passionately about coming together. And I've been banging the drum for this since 2007. And this year, like I said, it's kind of reached a sort of tipping point with various organic groups and DIY groups and organic centres all over the country. Now, obviously, having tried these remedies and going, wow, what's going on here? Let's get this guy up and we can talk about it.
Well, was there an element, and I mean this in a very eloquent sense of asking, but was there an element of... how would you say it, Monty Python, I am the Messiah, when you came, and not so much I am the Messiah, but you had that giggle when you said when you when if you understand
when
me
the, when I read about this first
when you first came out and said I'd like to talk about, you know, homeopathy for plants, did you get the giggles? Did you get the people having the?
Oh, you always do. Whenever I mean, you get used to that as a homeopath, because I mean, you know, the noise in the contemporary culture is very much, you know, that homeopathy is nonsense, and you know, but people have said that about homeopathy for 200 years, and it's still here. You know, it's 100 million people treated every day with homeopathy in India. It's, according to the WHO, it's the second most popular system of medicine in the world. I mean, you only get this very negative publicity in the English-speaking countries, particularly in England, because it's in part of the NHS. But if you go to France, you find half of GPs are prescribing homeopathic remedies. If you go to Germany, you'll find one in four people use homeopathy as their primary method of treatment. So it doesn't want for popularity. The objections against homeopathy, in my view anyway, are mostly theoreticians, academics who have very little clinical experience. You'll find that the GPs at the coalface are a lot more tolerant of alternative medicine than the academics are.
You're a very happy, contented sounding fellow. Do you put part of that down to what you do for a living?
I do. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, they say that if you do what you love, you never have to work another day in your life. And I would be fortunate enough to say, to count myself among those people, I think.
That's all the time we have for this week on The Sod Show. If you missed any web addresses or any important information, you'll find the notes on today's show, including links to information on the Garden Group Day Out, over on sodshow.com. And if you want to listen again at any time, we're available in podcast form on iTunes just after the show goes out on Dublin City FM. Just search there for Sod Show. So that's it for now. We're back with more of Dublin's only gardening radio show in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden, next week at the same time. Between now and then, no matter what you do in the great outdoors, and no matter how you do it, enjoy yourselves. Take care.